Because when I say we are not mates, it's not that I don't like you. It's just that me, I've left my house smelling like stew and fried fish many, many times in my life. I've been humbled in ways that you have not been humbled. Hey everyone, and welcome to What I Wish I Knew, the podcast. I'm Akuba, and I'll be sharing everything I wish I knew when it comes to navigating the world from the lens of a first-generation millennial gal. We'll have guests, and we'll touch on everything from relationship, finance, and careers as we travel through this thing called life and self-development. We'll laugh, we'll cry, but we gonna be all right. Hello, we are back again. So last episode was the bonus episode just about my departure from social media for the last 2.5 months, as well as what I learned during that time and my return back to social media. It was a good time. I still highly recommend that anybody who feels like they need a breakaway should absolutely do it. I'm going to introduce this new little section. I think I'll call it Questions with Koobs or something cool. Somebody send me a something that I can call this segment of the show. But I got a DM that was kind of a question asking for my insight, and it reads, "Hey Akuba, how were you able to manage being off IG without having major FOMO? Every time I turn off social media, I feel like I'm missing events, people's birthdays, and I kind of feel bad for not messaging them when I see it while I'm away." Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And to that, I would say you have to be reducing the FOMO before it even becomes FOMO. Edit your timeline. You're in control of what you see. Follow things that don't make you feel anxious or that you're behind in life or that you're missing stuff and that all of your mates are marrying except for you. And don't feel so pressured to reply to everything, right? You can't be everything for everyone all at the same time. Life doesn't work that way. So I would suggest, yeah, edit your timeline and also take a step back, right? In the reality of things, if you had 2 weddings, a birthday, a baby shower, and a brunch all on the same day, chances are you're only going to make it to 1, maximum 2 of those events. Like, you cannot come and kill yourself. You're not going to make it to all of those events in real life anyway. So why do you feel like you're missing out and you feel so pressured to respond? Literally take that pressure and put it somewhere, because everybody who loves you and has a genuine relationship with you is going to understand that, hey, maybe I just didn't hear from Sarah today, and it's okay. Like, just get back to them when you can and keep it pushing. So that's what I would say. Edit your timeline, prioritize people who you really love, and don't feel so pressured to comment about everything. You will be just fine. And remember that these apps are literally designed to keep you addicted and having that sense of anxiety and FOMO anyway. So don't let them get you. Don't let them get the best of you. Kind of take back more control of what you're seeing, and just appreciate the relationships that you do have in your life. That's what I got to say. So moving into today's episode, and this episode is going to guide the next few as a disclaimer. I think it's really important. It's a topic that a lot of times I feel like I haven't gotten the space or the acknowledgement for, which kind of made navigating through life in different ways a bit difficult for me. So we're talking all about being a first gen. Okay, whether you're first gen Ghanaian like me, first gen Nigerian, first gen Jamaican, Haitian, you name it, this is for us. And I feel like it's a space that we don't really get to talk about, because we often get lumped into these generic categories of you're a millennial, you're a Gen Z, you're a this, you're a that, whatever, man. And being a first gen really has shaped the way that I think, the way that I see the world. And that doesn't get acknowledged enough. So I looked up the definition of a first gen, and a first gen is a person born in the U.S. to an immigrant parent or a naturalized citizen. I repeat, a first gen is a person born in the U.S. to an immigrant parent or is a naturalized citizen by way of a green card, by marriage, you name it. That is a first gen. And I think it's really important to note because, again, when we're talking about these generations of Gen Z and millennial, we're just lumping everyone born between 1990 to whatever, 2000, from 2001 to 2012 and so on, as if people don't have these major life experiences and there's things that are very niche to us. So me, I'm going to put this one on my chest because I think navigating through life when I was younger would have been a lot more simple if I felt like I had space just to be first gen without feeling like I'm tired of trying to get people to understand instead of just walking in, yeah, it is what it is, take it or leave it. And I can relate to many of my friends who are also first gen because the humility, this one is pounded into my DNA at this point. It's so funny. I mean, we've had some crazy experiences and there's things that, again, I can only laugh about with other first gens because our experiences are just so wild and nobody else would understand them. Such as being able to, or trying rather, to tell your mom a month in advance that you want to hang out with your friends, only for her to change your mind the day of, even after you cleaned the house, you did the dishes, and she's still like, nah. It's not now that I'm coming to tell my friends that, yo, my mom had a dream, and she saw in the Ted heavens. I'm just going to say no, I can't go. Before you even ask, the answer is no. I just have to get this off of my chest for anyone who is not a person of color or who is a person of color, and you've been having this internal battle with yourself on the topic, but yeah, we are not just all black generically. It's okay to accept our differences and embrace them and learn from each other. My experience as a Ghanaian is not the same as someone's experience as a Nigerian or a Jamaican or a Haitian. And it's just weird to say that, yeah, oh, she's black. Oh, I know that so-and-so is Asian. That doesn't tell you anything about the person at all. Vietnam is not Cambodia. Cambodia is not China. So Asian doesn't tell you anything. Saying someone is African gives you a generic sense of, okay, they're from the continent, but from where? It's really time that we start making space for each of our experiences individually and also culturally. Another thing as a first gen that people don't tend to understand is that we deal with a very specific set of pressures that are very unique to us. Things like making our family proud or not bringing shame to our family, almost in a way so that there's like less of a sense of individuality, which is a huge difference when it comes to the environment that we grow up in America, right? Like, everybody do your own thing, figure out your own path. Whereas when you're at home, you're just being taught to go to school, get a job, go to school again, do your master's, get an even better job, repeat. There's no sense of, yeah, this is what I want to do, this is my path. Or rather, that can be met with a lot of resistance because it's not understood. So I do want to acknowledge that you're not crazy. We all going through it or have been through it. Yeah, there's things that you want to do or things that you like that are not necessarily what your parents have carved out for you to do. And it's going to be uncomfortable and difficult to work through that. But it's part of our adulting experience, right? Coming into our own, figuring out how to represent ourselves to the best of our abilities, while also not conforming to everybody else's thoughts of what you should be as a first gen Ghanaian, as a first gen Nigerian, or wherever you are from. I think it's important to take advantage of the opportunities that our parents and our loved ones have sacrificed so hard for us to even have. So it doesn't really make much sense to kind of conform to this generic go to school, eat, sleep pattern without really taking advantage of the platform and the access to things that we have, which is the whole reason why our parents even moved to this country to begin with. So that's a lot to unpack in itself. The second type of pressure that I feel like doesn't really get acknowledged is just the need to be exemplary in everything that we do. We're not allowed to fail. We can't mess up. A's are not celebrated because they're expected. So anything below an A in school is like, please return my child to the village and don't come back until you have A's. Like, yo. And again, it's so funny because I remember being in school and people would be rejoicing that they got a C or that they got a B. And it's like, yo, I'm over here shaking like, dang, I really got an A minus. I got a B plus. And it's so funny. And I used to think that they were the crazy ones. Like, why are you so happy? You didn't even do good. Meanwhile, again, there's just always that pressure to perform, the pressure to be outstanding in everything that we do, which I think is good in a way to raise your children to have that. But it can be detrimental when you feel like you're never allowed to mess up. You're not allowed to make mistakes, right? So these things have deeper implications. And I'm not saying that it was intentional or that it was that we were raised with any type of malintent, but it's just one of those things that, oh my gosh, this level of pressure that I've put on myself since I was a kid doesn't really help when you're trying to figure out new things and fail and try things again. It can really take a toll on you when you're taking L's back to back. Like, it can feel like, yo, I'm really messing up harder. And you can be harder on yourself than you need to be. The last set of pressure, or really challenge, I would say, is just feeling like you don't have support. Kind of going off of that, always having to be exemplary, you feel like you have to be exemplary without having a blueprint. There's no blueprint or support for you because, again, our example or our identity in the world is totally different from that of our peers, whether they are also millennials, whether they're white, whatever, it's just different. So not having the support is a real thing that I have felt, a lot of my friends have felt as well, whether it's mental, emotional, financial, it can really take a toll on you because it's like, all right, you're expected to perform in this country or these sets of environments where you are the first person stepping into them. You have no idea what is at your disposal to even you utilize. And then sometimes you find that the support that is given to you is really tailored to and catered to people who already have a working sense of what they're doing or a working sense of this is how the system works. But again, some of us, we are grown and we're just stepping into environments where we're like, yo, I'm the first in my entire family to be in this position. How am I supposed to know what I'm doing right off the bat? You're over here like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're looking at you like, so how the heck are you here, dummy? It can be so stressful, but not having support is real. If you're listening to this, I see you, I feel you. You are not alone, whether it's med school, law school, business school, just going through school in general, figuring out your finances, navigating corporate America, navigating internships. Everything is just so different. And again, a lot of us are the first ones stepping into these spaces and environments. So give yourself a break. Pat yourself on the back because interacting with some of these people, it makes you want to slap. But you have to compose yourself because you know we in the system, in it. So just be easy on yourself, especially as I mean, we're all getting older. I think it's important to give ourselves more grace. Obviously, yeah, strive for excellence in everything that you do. But understand that, yo, you're not going to get it right all the time, especially acknowledging that this is my first time doing this, or this is my first experience in this space, and I'm not going to get it all right the first time. It's really okay. Another struggle that a lot of us have as first gens is the struggle of preserving our culture, but also balancing it with adjusting things that we know are just not right. You know, like pressuring people to get married, whether it's not letting children express themselves or not addressing your family issues and acting like everything is okay, but also wanting to preserve your culture and pass it down to your kids, or just preserve it for yourself as well. And it's a really tough thing to juggle. Like, anybody who knows me, I'm not taking nonsense. I'm saying what's on my chest. But at the same time, it took a while for me to grow into that, because Ghanaians are known for their respectability, politics, and everything is yes, please. Yes, please. Oh, no, please. Meanwhile, they'll go behind closed doors and be insulting you to high heavens. And those are things that I didn't really like growing up. Like, why are we all sitting here acting like we like Auntie Fosti? But Auntie Fosti is a whole liar. And you two are kikikiing with her. Like, things that I just didn't really understand. But also knowing that it's important to me to be able to cook my my cultural dishes, whether it's jollof, fufu, benku. So it's a weird balance. And again, that's another thing we'll just get into. The things that we want to change, the things that are important to for us to preserve, while also juggling and growing ourselves in America, UK, Canada, you name it. It's really tricky. And I just wanted to make space for that on this episode, because we are not acknowledged. The struggles are very real. So to wrap things up, I am just going to say what I wish I knew as a first gen. I wish I was just able to acknowledge earlier that there's things I'm going to struggle with and have difficulty with, because I've never seen it before. And nobody that I know has also seen it before. And we are all out here figuring the thing and doing the do. That's all. So until next episode, we got some good stuff coming up, and we'll keep the convo going. It's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed another episode of What I Wish I Knew podcast. For listener letters, Q&A, and business inquiries, please send an email to wiwikpod@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon.